Do you believe in miracles? Yes. Yes, definitely, absolutely. Because I've had a lot of them and I know it's real. And God's power is still active and at work today to perform miracles. Okay, today we are going to be speaking, or I am going to be speaking, because my dear husband is homesick. But you know what? A few weeks ago, he told me, I really feel like you need to do this message. And this message today is on Jehovah Rapha. And you'll find out more about that in a minute. So I said, well, okay. And so we had planned this several weeks ago. And then he ended up being sick. So see, the Lord knew. And, he knew Corey needed, I guess he needed to stay home and rest today because he's pretty weak, but he's doing much better. He just, I guess, either food poisoning or the flu, like a stomach bug, you know, something like that. But anyway, and I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to get it. And my granddaughters, two of my granddaughters were at the house, and they are not going to get it either. Okay, today we're speaking on Jehovah Rapha. And, you know, Pastor Corey has been speaking on the names of God. And there are many names for God because one name cannot contain all that he is. God is so vast and so great and so powerful. One name cannot contain him. Cannot contain all that he is and who he is. So one of those powerful names is Jehovah Rapha. And talking about the name Jehovah Rapha, the Hebrew word Rapha or Rapha means heal, cure, restore, or make whole. Shortly after his people left Egypt for the promised land, God revealed himself as Yahweh Rophi, the Lord who heals. Rophi, that's another name, and we'll talk more about that in just a second. But Exodus 15:26 tells us, if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his eyes and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer. He identified himself as our healer. But all through the Bible, he identifies himself as what he is, and he is many things. Now, the name Jehovah Rapha, also sometimes spelled Jehovah Rophi, Jehovah Rophecha, and Jehovah Rapha, R-A-F-A-H. And I don't know if I'm pronouncing all these correctly, but that's just my Texas way of pronouncing them. Now, this name translates to the Lord who heals. We know that he is the Lord who heals. Rapha, R-A-P-H-A, means to heal, to make whole, to properly mend by stitching, and to repair. God does all of these things for us through his healing power. He stitches us up. He repairs us when we're broken. He heals our bodies. He heals our minds. I'm getting ahead of myself. He is a healer in more ways than one. The verb from which Rophi or Rapha is derived occurs 67 times in the Old Testament. 67, that's a lot. Though it often refers to physical healing. And you know, I'm going to point out too that that was even before Jesus. That's before Jesus came and became our sacrifice and provided healing and all that we need. When he became our sacrifice lamb and all that he did, and he gave us his power and authority in the earth. But this is in the Old Testament. This is even before Jesus. God was identified as our healer. Now, okay. though it often refers to physical healing, it usually has a larger meaning as well, involving the entire person, the whole being, body, soul, and spirit. Rather than merely healing the body, Yahweh Rophi heals the mind and soul as well. Mind and soul. You know, a lot of times we need emotional healing. We need our mind healed. You know, you hear a lot about mental health these days. Well, God, Jehovah Rapha, heals. He heals those that need a healing, mental health. He can heal that just as well and easily as he can heal the physical body. He can heal the mind. He can heal the emotions. He is all of that. Now, so rather than merely healing the body, Yahweh Rophi heals the mind and soul as well. The Hebrew verb is also used in other ways. For example, God heals water, land, and nations, and he repairs an altar. We see all of that in the Old Testament. But he heals water, land, he heals nations. Okay, what is our example? Our example is 2 Chronicles 7:14. And that says, and it's not going to be on the screen, but if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. He heals our land. Does our land need to be healed? This nation needs to be healed. This nation is full of darkness. And that's why we must arise as the church in the land. We are the church. We are the body of Jesus Christ. And we are to arise and be the light in the land and bring light to those in darkness and to shine the light of God's love, of his mercy, and the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he is their Savior. He's their deliverer. He can set them free and he can heal them. They need to know that. And we can shine that light so that they will no longer have to be in darkness. But much of this nation is in darkness. Much of our government is in darkness. And we must pray for righteous leaders to arise. We do have righteous leaders in our government, but we don't have enough of them. We need to pray for more righteous leaders in the land, that they will arise, and that the wicked will be brought down and defeated, that righteousness will rule the land. When the righteous are in rule, the people rejoice, the Bible says. But when the wicked are in rule, the people mourn. I think there's some mourning going on right now because of those in the White House. But God has the final say, and the devil is not going to defeat us because America has a covenant with God. And we are not going to let the devil destroy this nation. We are the light bearers in the land. And we do not have to bow down to him. He must bow down to the name of Jesus. He must bow down to our God. Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We have the power through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, we must pray. We must stand in the gap, and we must remember the power of the Lord our God, and we walk in that power. Significantly, God also heals sin and apostasy. The Hebrew scriptures, in fact, link sickness and sin by presenting sin as the cause of illness, just as it is the cause of death. Because we know it says in Romans, the wages of sin is death. Okay, sin brings death, but sin can also bring sickness and disease. So, and that's not in every case. There's so many cases that it doesn't have anything to do with sin. But then there is the cases that it does have to do with sin. But repentance brings healing. So in the New Testament, y'all look at this point with me. I've got a few points that I'm making that I've got Kathy putting up on the screen today. In the New Testament, the corresponding Greek word is, anybody want to try pronouncing it? Anybody know Greek? Okay, I don't know Greek, and I don't know how to pronounce that word, so I'm just going to say aomi. Okay, does that sound okay to y'all? Aomi. Okay. In the New Testament, the corresponding Greek word is aomi, and it can refer to deliverance from death, demons, sickness, and sin. Deliverance from death, demons, sickness, and sin. And this is the corresponding, this Greek word in the New Testament is the corresponding word to Jehovah Rapha in the Old Testament. We first discover the name of Jehovah Rapha in Exodus 15:26, which we have already read. I'm going to read it to you again, just in case you forgot what it is. If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his eyes, we must submit to him and give ear to his commandments, listen to his commandments, and keep all his statutes. Keep them. Don't just hear them and then go on and do your own thing. Keep them. Obey him. I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer. He is our healer. But you know what? Then we find out, though, later on that sin will bring on the diseases. Sin brings a curse. Disobedience to God is sin, and it brings a curse. And that's why the Egyptians had all of those plagues sent against them. Okay, are y'all understanding? All right. Get all this connected together. Now, prior to this verse, prior to Exodus 15:26 that we just read, we see instances of Rapha, even in regard to something God can do for people. But this is the first instance in which God reveals healer as part of his identity. And that's in Genesis 20:17, is when God first reveals healer as his identity. Then Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female servants so they could have children. He healed their wombs. And the womb was closed because of sin, because of disobedience. But he healed the wombs of the women so that they could have children. And scripture also uses the name Jehovah Rapha in verses such as Jeremiah 30:17. I will give you back your health and heal your wounds, says the Lord, for you are called an outcast, Jerusalem, for whom no one cares. That brings up another subject, Jerusalem, Israel. We must pray for Israel. They have Jerusalem for whom no one cares. This world and the God of this world, who is the devil, has fought Israel ever since, from the beginning, from the very beginning, when God told Abraham, I will make a nation out of you from your seed. It will be, y'all will be, God didn't say y'all, but anyway. It'll be multiplied. Your seed will be multiplied as the sands of the shore, as the sand. I mean, there'll be so many you can't hardly count them. Okay, God's promise to Abraham to make a nation from his seed. And he did. And he named that nation Israel, because he turned Abraham's grandson's name, Jacob, from Jacob to Israel. And the devil has fought Israel ever since. We must stand with Israel. Look at what's going on today, unless you have your head in the sand. And I know that gets on Colin's message a little bit from last week. But if you have your head in the sand, then you don't know. But if you listen to any news or read any news or know what's going on, then you know that Israel has been attacked. And now they're being attacked again for defending themselves, which I think is the most ridiculous thing. But that's the way the devil works. He tries to twist everything and make what they're doing sound like they're the evil. They're the aggressor. They're the terrorist. No, Israel is not the terrorist. Hamas and the other side, they're the terrorist. And they're trying to annihilate. Their goal is to annihilate Israel, to kill every one of them, every Jew. They hate the Jews because Jews are God's chosen people. So we must pray for Israel. Now, getting back to that verse, Jeremiah 30:17, I will give you back your health and heal your wounds, says the Lord. He heals and restores, such as restoring your health. He restores your health. He can restore your mind. He can heal your mind. He can restore your emotions. So many people have gone through so many things, and their emotions are just all over the place. He can heal your emotions and bring peace. Peace is what people need. They need the peace of God. And God's peace brings rest to your soul. Okay, and another example of Jehovah Rapha is Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Jesus fulfilled this prophecy. This prophecy in Isaiah. Isaiah wrote this prophecy, and it was regarding Jesus. And then in the New Testament, we see in the Gospels that Jesus went to the temple and he read this passage of scriptures, and he said, today this prophecy is fulfilled. Jesus is the fulfillment of that. The Spirit of the Lord God was upon him. And the Spirit of the Lord God is upon us, those who walk with him. To preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Healing. Healing. In whatever way you need healing. To proclaim liberty to the captives. Set the captive free. Loose the chains that bind those that are in bondage. He breaks the chains off of those that are in bondage. Jesus was sent to do that. Psalm 103:3. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. It's another example of Jehovah Rapha. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. God, our healer, heals intensively and extensively. Nothing is too hard for our God. No one is too far gone for our God. Nothing, no sickness or disease or problem, circumstance is too hard for God, because he's a miracle-working God. He is Jehovah Rapha, and he can heal anything. He can deliver anyone. He sets the captive free. All you have to do is believe. You must believe and trust him. You must trust him. He can be trusted when no one else can. He can be trusted. Jesus gave his life for us. He went through untold agony for us, because that's how much he loves us. He made a way for us to have eternal life. He made a way for us to be healed and delivered and set free. He made a way for us to have victory. He made a way for us to have eternal life. He has come to give us abundant life. But what has the devil come for? To steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. He hates you. But God loves you. Jesus loves you. So he did all that for us. So, of course, we can trust him. We can trust him. Now, I am going to read from my mom's book. And this book is called Arise, Shine. And I have told some of my testimonies, my healing testimonies, miracles. But, my, you know, these two particular ones that happened, I was a baby, so I don't remember them. So I just, you know, would go by memory from what Mama had said. Well, I decided to, instead of putting it in my own words, I'm going to put it in my mama's words, and I'm going to read her book, and then you can hear how it all went down. And she gives some insight also. And her chapters are short, so don't worry, it's not going to be real long. Her chapters are short in her book. Some of them are just one page, some of the chapters. But so this chapter is called Rochelle's Miracles. If you ever hear any old wives' tales about how the first childbirth is the most difficult, don't believe them. Shanda, our first daughter, was born on October 9th, 1957. She arrived without complications, and the baby was a blessing to our lives. Soon I was pregnant with a second daughter, but things didn't go as smoothly with that pregnancy. Rochelle was early. She only weighed 5 pounds at birth and wasn't very healthy. She had a lot of problems typical with premature babies. Even after we had taken her home, John and I spent a lot of time at the doctor's office. She was sick much of the time. After a few months, she couldn't keep anything on her stomach, and she still wasn't gaining any weight. I don't have that problem today. A month before her first birthday, she weighed less than 13 pounds. I had believed in faith healing since Leveda had introduced it at the Gospel Tabernacle. That was when my mom was growing up. Leveda Reed was the pastor. She had a woman pastor. And little did she know, my mom, know that years later she would become a pastor. So I had believed in faith healing since Leveda had introduced it at the Gospel Tabernacle. That's a church in Burleson, right out on the outskirts of Burleson. Our family believed in miracles and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Both Leveda and Tony Wise taught that healing is possible today, basing that belief on the words of 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed. That's King James Version. As Spirit-filled Christians, we believe that miracles, like those performed by Jesus and his followers, are still possible today. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Acts 3:43. They healed the sick in the name of Jesus, assuming authority over illness and even life itself in his name. And we have the same authority in Jesus' name. See where I learned it? Learned it from my mom, and I learned it from the Word, because I got in the Word for myself, too. Okay, now I'm going to skip over just a little bit. She also used the example of, in Acts 3, or gave the scriptures, Peter and John healed the man that had been lame since birth. Okay, and the Gospel Tabernacle sometimes devoted entire services to nothing but healing. Healing is one of the many ways that God's awesome power is demonstrated, even in our skeptical modern world. No less than speaking in tongues, no less than prophesying, the authority to heal and cast out demons is real. It is as real to, and I've seen it. I've seen it. I know firsthand it is real. It is as real today as it was when Jesus' followers rushed into the streets on the day of Pentecost. An act of healing is the seed of faith for further miracles. Witnessing a miraculous healing is a great blessing. By the time Rochelle was born, I had seen people healed by faith many times, so her faith was already built up. Having seen it with my own eyes, I knew that it was possible and that God could heal my baby. We had tried everything, including regular doses of prayer and laying on of hands, but even my parents, who never failed to believe we have a right to healing through faith, had said they were concerned that Rochelle might not live. Then one Wednesday, I decided that the time had come to seize God's promise. God was going to heal Rochelle. I knew it. That was her faith. Her faith was put into activation, put into play. Prayer cloths are not an invention of modern holy roller Pentecostals. They are biblical. Paul used them to perform miracles by remote control. Acts 19:12 describes their use. So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. I went to a church. I went to church and got a white prayer cloth. Pastor Wise anointed the cloth and church members prayed over it. I folded it gently, wrapped it, and put it into my purse. As soon as I got home, I pinned it to the baby's clothes. Rochelle's health improved immediately. That night, for the first time in a week, she held down her dinner. She stopped throwing up altogether. Soon she was gaining weight. Within 2 weeks, it was obvious that she was going to survive. My family and the entire church praised God. Because I had stepped out and exercised my faith, I received the added blessing of an increase in faith. That's what happens. You get one miracle, you have more faith for another miracle. Okay, this is the cycle of faith, the root and the fruit. First, I had believed for a miracle because I had accepted Jesus Christ and decided to believe the words of the Bible. My faith took root in the Word of God. Next, I had taken action on that belief. And finally, as a result of the miracle, my faith for future miracles was increased. That is the way faith works. That is the way it works. And my faith grew. I found I needed it more, too. As my faith grew, I found I needed it more. As Rochelle became more active and began attempting to stand, it was obvious that she had other problems. She couldn't walk. She could stand, grasping the bars and rails of her baby bed for balance. She managed to limp around, but she was practically walking on her ankles. Her feet collapsed outward, and she moved around like she was trying to walk up the inside of an egg. Never heard that before. Inside of an egg. It was obviously painful, and she crumpled to the floor, crying out in agony and frustration. Days and weeks went by. Rochelle's first birthday passed. The family grew concerned because her feet weren't getting any better. On a Monday in November of 1960, I took Rochelle to the local doctor, James Haberly, M.D. After examining her, Dr. Haberly consulted with a specialist and described the baby's symptoms to him. As he hung up the phone, Dr. Haberly looked at me and sighed. Rochelle would need to wear braces. The braces would extend from her knees down to a pair of special shoes that would keep her feet from turning out. And, you know, I remember when I was a kid, I remember seeing other little kids that had to wear those braces and those special shoes. I'm so thankful that God healed me and delivered me from having to go through that. She'll probably always have to wear them, the doctor said, because her ankle bones were deformed. Dr. Haberly's staff made an appointment for me to take Rochelle to the specialist on the following Friday. I couldn't accept that diagnosis that Rochelle would be crippled for life. So that's where her faith kicks in again. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did in the Bible, he will do today. He healed the lame man in the Bible. He could heal it. Healed the lame little baby today. He healed lame people. Later, the disciples healed lame people simply by saying, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." You either believe it or you don't. It's as simple as that. You either believe it or you don't. If you believe in healing, you must act on that belief. On Wednesday after the visit to the Burleson doctor, I bundled up the baby and drove to the Gospel Tabernacle. It was a very cold November. I shivered alternately from the cold and excitement as I carried Rochelle into the sanctuary. There were only about 20 people at the Wednesday night prayer service. When Pastor Wise saw me enter with Rochelle in my arms, he knew why I was there. At the end of the service, he called, "Everybody gather round. We're going to agree for a miracle." The members of the congregation, including my parents, surrounded me. I held Rochelle with her legs draped over my arm. Pastor Wise took her deformed feet in his hands. He held them up, and everyone saw that they were turned out to the sides grotesquely. We prayed. I closed my eyes and prayed for my daughter's limbs to be straight and strong. I heard others around me praying too. Then a few stopped praying. And Lorraine Green, my aunt, gasped, "Oh!" I looked down at my daughter and watched as her feet rotated. No longer jutting out at the ankles, they were straightening. She was being healed right before our eyes. as if Jesus himself had commanded her bones to align. We praise to the Lord. Many people, well, I'm going to skip on down a little bit. I kept the appointment with the specialist on Friday, even though in the 2 days since Rochelle's healing, she had started walking. At 16 months old, Rochelle had taken her first steps outside the baby bed. The specialist looked the baby over and then asked her to walk to him. As Rochelle stepped forward toward him, he looked at the notes he had written down when Dr. Haberly had called. He inspected her ankles again. Finally, with a confused shrug, he pronounced, "There's nothing wrong with her ankles." He asked what had happened. "We prayed for her," I stated. The doctor didn't say anything more. He hadn't seen the miracle and he hadn't seen Rochelle before. How could he possibly believe a miracle had occurred unless he already believed in miracles? He couldn't take my word for it. It was easier for him to believe that Dr. Haberly had been mistaken or that Rochelle had never really been crippled. All he could do was pronounce that there was nothing wrong with the little girl. But at the very least, he had to realize that something unusual had happened. Both Dr. Haberly and I had described Rochelle's condition in the same way. Through miracles, some people who otherwise would reject the message of Jesus Christ outright can be convinced that the story of salvation is real. Miracles plant seeds of belief that, if properly cared for and nourished, will grow into faith. Miracles like those that I have personally witnessed may seem to you to be more the exception than the rule, but I believe that miracles will increase in the days before Christ's return, and the outward signs of God's power will convert many unbelievers. And I believe that too. We are living in the last days. This is the time for signs, wonders, and miracles. This is the time for signs, wonders, and miracles. But we must believe. And we must walk in the power and anointing of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we do that by being submitted to Him and by believing His word and trusting Him. And we will walk in that power. And I praise God for my healings when I was a baby. And I praise God for the other healings I received. I've told about my healings of my kidneys being healed when the doctor said I needed. Dr. Haberly said I needed a kidney transplant. I was 12 then. So God's healing, miraculous healing power, Jehovah Rapha, was active in my life. And He's been active in many lives. We must believe. Now, I want you to look at this truth with me. Jehovah Rapha is all-encompassing to heal spirit, soul, and body, to forgive, restore, deliver, and set the captive free. Jehovah Rapha. And Jesus was and is the fulfillment of Jehovah Rapha. Worship team, would y'all come? I've asked the worship team to do a song to end the service out. But I don't want to quit and leave without giving you an opportunity. If you need healing, if you need your circumstances changed, if you need Jehovah Rapha to be active in your life to bring about a miracle for you, if you need your mind healed, if you need your emotions healed, if you have a family member that needs a healing, then I want you to stand. And as an act of your faith, sometimes faith must have action to go with it. And I want you to walk down to this altar and stand. And by standing here, you are saying, Jehovah Rapha, I believe in you. And I trust you. And I believe that you will move on my behalf, or you will move on my family member's behalf. And you will bring the healing that is needed. You will bring the deliverance that is needed. You will bring the circumstances to change. You are the answer, the miracle working God. And I believe in you, Lord Jesus. I believe in you, Jehovah Rapha. And I thank you, oh Lord, that you're moving today. Your hand of healing is outstretched over your people today. Your delivering hand is outstretched. You break every bondage. You set the captive free. You heal our minds. You heal our emotions. You heal our bodies. You heal our land. Oh, you are the all-powerful, almighty God, Jehovah Rapha. And we praise you and we thank you for what you've done in our lives and what you're about to do. We thank you, oh God. Give him praise. Give him praise because he's here for you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now that was weak. That was a really weak praise. If you're going to... If it's contingent on you praising him, I don't think you're going to receive your healing. Okay. Hallelujah. Listen to this song. As they sing this song today, as they sing, as they worship, sing along with these words and believe what you're singing. Believe. And allow God to do a work in your life. Allow God to do the work that needs to be done. And receive your answer to your prayer today. In Jesus' name.